Luke chapter 18. Last week, we said goodbye to the rich young ruler, this guy that had it all and had it made. And yet he knew there was something missing in his life, missing in his heart. And he came to Jesus and says, man, what else do I need to do? What do I need to do to get eternal life? And he went away sad. It's kind of a sad ending to the story. But honestly, I'm not sure that this is the last that we will see of this young man, because he does go away sad. He goes away recognizing that there is something missing in his life. There was something there that he still needs, and he was still searching for it. That thing is eternal life. The guarantee, the knowledge that you have eternal life. He was missing that. But the good part of that story is that now, at least, he knows the answer. Before, he wasn't even sure. What is it that I need? Jesus gave him the answer. Now he knows. He knows for sure that there are two things that he needs to do. He needs to let go of those things that he thinks will bring him fulfillment. He needs to let go of the money that he had, the power that he had, thinking that through those things he's going to be fulfilled in his life. He's got to let go of those things, and he's got to follow Jesus. He knows what the answer is now. And I just have in the back of my mind a suspicion that he came to a point where he said, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to follow Christ. And I hope he did. I hope he traded in the God that he followed for the only God, the only one true and living God. Verse 31, it says, then he, talking about Jesus, took the 12 aside and told them, listen, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Jesus, as we've said, is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross. This is the last time that he will go to Jerusalem as a man. He's going to the cross. Next, in the chapter that we will study next, chapter 19, toward the end of that chapter, we read about Palm Sunday. And so we are at that point in the story. It's maybe a month, maybe just a couple of weeks before all of the events that take place on Easter Sunday, that very first Easter Sunday. And so when he tells them, when he says to these guys, everything that is written about me in the Old Testament, it's going to happen now. It's about to take place. It's about to happen. Man, these were the words that the disciples have been waiting for. They've been waiting for him to flip the switch, to get the program running, to get things moving, but they're thinking something completely different than what is going to take place. They're thinking, finally, he's going to kick the Romans out. Finally, he's going to establish the kingdom. He's going to reestablish Israel as a dominant power in this area. Finally, he is going to sit on the throne. Finally, he is going to wear a crown of gold. Finally, we get to be in charge. I mean, that's part of what they're thinking, because they think they're going to be the cabinet. You know, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of this. They think they're the guys who are going to be in power with him. And so they're thinking, finally, he's going to do this. They're thinking, finally, all of the things that we've read about in the Old Testament are going to take place. Every man is going to be able to sit under his own fig tree and watch his wife do the work. No, it doesn't say that part in the Old Testament. It says, sit under the fig tree, that part. I'm letting you ladies know kind of the secret dream of every guy, you know, to be able to sit and watch his wife do all the work. I probably shouldn't have let that cat out of the bag. Sorry, guys. But the Old Testament talks about some amazing things. Some amazing things that will take place. And so they are excited, no doubt. And so in verse 32, he has to clarify what he's talking about. Verse 32, he says, for he will, talking about himself, be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted, spit upon. And after they flog him, they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day. So he begins to describe now what he's talking about. He begins to describe the fulfillment of the Old Testament that he is referring to. And I'm sure at this point their mouths start to drop open, because they have this one picture, and Jesus is now describing something that is vastly different. Their mouths are falling open. They're moving from excitement to confusion. They are moving from glee to horror in the description that Jesus is giving them. It's because they just expect a different outcome. Imagine if you were watching a movie with a friend, a favorite movie, one that you had seen many times before, and you sit down with this friend, and at the beginning of the movie, he starts to tell you how the movie ends, but it is completely different than what you know. He sits down, you're watching Indiana Jones, he says, yeah, it's too bad how he dies in the end. You go, what are you talking about? He doesn't die in the end. I know how this movie plays out. You know, this is kind of what these guys are going through. We know how this thing works. No, there's no dying. There's no flogging. No. King, crown, all of that stuff. And they're confused. And so it says in verse 34, they understood none of these things. They didn't understand anything that he was saying. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. They didn't understand because what he told them was completely different from their expectations of the Messiah. So why did he even bother to tell them? He knew they weren't going to understand. Why did he even bother to share this with them? He shared this with them because he knew that they would remember. He knew they would remember when the time was right. God reveals truth to us, but he always reveals it at the right time. You know, there are times that we want truth. We want all of it. But God says, no, you can't handle all of it. I'm going to give it to you one tablespoon at a time, because that's the way that you can receive it. These guys just didn't understand. And it's understandable that they didn't understand, because the Old Testament does give us these two very, very different pictures of the Messiah as he comes. Isaiah describes him this way. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. No appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of suffering, who knew what sickness was. He was pierced because of our transgression, crushed because of our iniquities, punished for our peace, for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his wounds. Isaiah paints this very sad, pathetic kind of picture of the Christ. But then we see this other one that is absolutely different. Zechariah says this, as he talks about Christ coming in power and in glory. He stands on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives splits in half, and water begins to flow into the Dead Sea and into the Mediterranean Sea, and healing flows as this water flows. And he is king, sitting in Jerusalem on a throne, powerful. And so it's understandable how they would be a little confused by what Jesus is saying here, because rationally, if you were to pick one of these two leaders to follow, which one would it be? The one with the crown and the power. That's the one I want to follow. I don't want to follow some guy that's going to get beat up and spit on and killed eventually. And so it's easy to understand how they would have been confused by what they saw. They see these very different pictures. But you know, the same thing can happen to us, in that we get confused sometimes when Jesus doesn't turn out to be what we expect him to be. Sometimes things happen to us that are contrary to what we want, contrary to what we expect, and we get confused. And sometimes we can get kind of sideways with God, because we want the power. We want the glory. You know, we want the kingdom, and we want the crown, and we want all of that. And what we get instead is a bad assignment, or a grumpy boss, or challenging children. Things just don't work out the way that we intended or the way that we wanted. So the disciples, they missed it. They missed completely what he was saying. But I got to tell you, in a way, this is a great encouragement to me. Because you got to think about it. These guys were with him 24/7 for 3 years. They ate with him. They drank with him. They camped out together. They traveled together. They were with him for 3 solid years, and they completely missed it. I don't know if you're like me, but there are times when I miss it too. When things are happening and things are taking place, I'm going, Lord, what is this? What is going on here? Why is this happening? Why is this situation in my life? What is the deal here? And I can get kind of sideways with God sometimes, trying to figure this out. I don't like it. It's not comfortable for me. But then as time plays out and situations play out, things become clear. Over time, he begins to speak to me and reveal things to me and show me what it is that he was trying to do, what it is he was trying to accomplish. And I sit back and I say, okay, Lord, I see now. You know, I'm sorry. I was a knucklehead. I shouldn't have been angry. I shouldn't have been doubtful of you. Lord, you were in the midst of this all along. You were in the middle working things out. I don't know if you can relate to that at all. I don't know if it's something that is true in your life. Or maybe you're just looking at me thinking, poor guy, what a mess he is. Verse 35, we move on to the next story. One of the really great stories in the New Testament, it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we get his name from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to call him Bart, because it's just easier for me to say. But blind Bart is a guy that is relatable to everyone in this room. Somebody that we can all relate to. He is like every one of us, and he is like everyone in the world today. Verse 35, it says, and he drew near Jericho. This is Jesus. And as he drew near Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. And hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this meant. Jesus, the Nazarene, is passing by, they told him. And so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus now is entering into Jericho. Jericho is an easy day's trip from Jerusalem. It's very close. And so things are intensifying in the life of Christ. There are crowds swarming around him, many of them following him, but many of them are just on their way to Jerusalem because the Passover is coming. And millions of people came from all over the world at this time of year to celebrate the Passover. And so as Jesus enters Jericho, there is this blind man begging by the side of the road. And Bartimaeus, or Bart, really is a perfect picture of mankind. Everyone. He is in a hopeless situation. They had no medical procedures in that day that could cure blindness. If you were blind, you were blind. You're stuck. No way out. He's here on the side of the road begging and without hope. That's his life every day. Imagine what your life is like every day, what your workplace is like. Imagine what it would be if your life was just getting up every morning, sitting by the road on a blanket and begging. That's this guy's life. The religious leaders of the day gave him no hope. They told him that his blindness actually was a punishment from God. That either because of sin in his life or sin in his parents' life. Because of sin someplace, we don't really know, they would say for sure, but sin someplace, that's the reason. God's mad at you, you're blind. What a great message of hope. But that's what religion does. And I'm talking about man-made religion. And it does that today. It misleads people. It preaches things that the Bible does not teach. It preaches all kinds of silliness, and we see it today. It calls evil good and good evil. There are churches today that will say that it's okay for you to live in sexual sin with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. That's okay as long as you love each other, as long as you like each other, if that's okay. Or two guys. Yeah, as long as you're in a caring relationship. You know, churches under the Christian banner are teaching that that is okay. Others are saying that materialism is a sign of spirituality. You know, the more stuff you got, the more that is an indication of God's blessing in your life. There's all kinds of nonsense being taught through man-made religion today. But Bartimaeus, each day would go and sit by the road, begging for alms, and listening as the world just passed him by. And there are many people like that in the world today, sitting, listening, begging for something that will bring peace to their heart, begging for something that will bring fulfillment in their life, because there is a void there that nothing will fill. And so he sits there, people passing by, tossing money onto his blanket. And he's sitting there and he hears something different. It's not the usual pilgrims. He was probably familiar with the pilgrims as they passed. But as he's sitting there, there is this new sound, a different kind of sound. There is an energy in the crowd. There is an excitement in this group that is passing by. And he says, what's up? What's going on here? He's blind, but his ears have become his eyes. And he perceives something there that is not visible through the human eye. In a lot of ways, he is a great rebuke to the religious leaders of that day, to these pilgrims who were traveling along the way. He was completely blind, and yet he perceives something there, something that all of the rest of them missed. And many people miss this. Many people who are sighted, many people who have all of the accoutrements of this life, they miss it, because they're looking for the wrong things. There may be somebody here who is feeling the crush of hopelessness, feeling the weight of sin or of failure, feeling far from God, abandoned and forgotten. You need to know that Jesus is here, that he is passing by, and that he hears your cry. He's listening. Bartimaeus, in so many ways, is a picture of mankind. Because everybody is spiritually blind. That's the way we're born. We are born into sin. We are born into this world spiritually blind. For some, it takes years to realize this fact. Some spend their entire life chasing after fame and fortune and all of the things that this world has to offer. Carnegie, who was one of the great multimillionaires of a generation, two generations ago, said, millionaires rarely smile. And there's truth in that. That they rarely smile because they are so committed to trying to hang on to the millions, the money, the stuff that they have, that there's no time to smile. There's no time to just enjoy the life that we have. People in this world are spiritually blind. And they're begging for something to get them through the day, just like Bartimaeus. Most people who are like this don't look like beggars because they've got good jobs and good educations, and they wear nice suits or pretty uniforms with lots of sparkly things on them. They look like a success. They look like things are going well for them. But the fact is that they are blind beggars. They just don't know it. Then those in front told him, speaking to the blind man, to blind Bartimaeus, told him to keep quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You just got to love this crowd. I mean, here's this guy who is blind, hopeless. And here is Jesus, the one guy who can do something about it. And all they can think about is themselves. "Hey, will you just shut up over there? You're interrupting my time with Jesus." What a group. What a crowd this is. Oh. They don't want to hear about mercy. Bartimaeus is crying, "Lord, have mercy." They're there to listen to what Jesus has to say, or maybe see some act of some miraculous act that he might do. They don't want to hear about mercy. That's the way of the world, you see, because when we get into the discussion of mercy, what is naturally wrapped up in that discussion is the issue of sin. If we come to Christ asking for mercy, it is because we have acknowledged that there is sin in our lives. And these people don't want to hear about mercy. They want to see some new act. They want to hear some thing that will enliven their intellect. But they don't want to deal with the issue of sin. Because when you realize that you are sinful, that puts you in a completely different position with God. He realized that he had a need. He realized that there was only one person in the world that could fulfill that need, and that is Jesus Christ. And so he continues to scream. He cries out here, "God, have mercy on me." In verse 40, it says, Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, "What do you want from me?" So this crowd, this great crowd, is following Jesus, and Jesus hears the man crying and he stops. He stops because he and Bartimaeus have made a connection. There's a connection there. In this crowd, this massive crowd of people, people talking, people laughing, people joking, Jesus has made a connection with a blind man who is sitting on the side of the road, and he stops the crowd. No one in the crowd knows about it. Nobody in the crowd recognized the fact that Jesus and Bartimaeus were on the same wavelength. And the same thing may be happening here today. Jesus is speaking to someone. Jesus is on the same wavelength. There is a crowd of people here, but Jesus is talking to one person. None of us know about it, but you do. So without anybody else knowing, Jesus stops the crowd. And Bartimaeus, he is screaming out. He's desperate to be heard. Jesus hears him and stops everybody. And Bartimaeus, he's listening to this crowd go by, and all of a sudden he gets kind of quiet. Just imagine what he might have been thinking. You know, did they leave? Are they gone? Am I in trouble? Is there something going on here? And then there's a voice that says, "Bring him." Mark tells us that he was told that Jesus was calling him. And guys, this is a part of our message. As followers of Christ, we need to let people know that Jesus is calling them. Jesus is calling out to them. Sometimes people will hear that Christ is calling, Christ is beckoning them, and they will ask, "Well, I'm not really sure. How do I know that he's really there? How do I know that he will really accept me? How do I know that he really wants me? How do I know that if I say, okay, I'll come, that he'll look at me and say, you know, I said everybody could come, but I really didn't mean you. You know, I wanted all people, but not, you know, can you just go stand over in the corner and maybe we'll get to you later? All those kinds of questions begin to flood into people. Guys, part of our testimony is letting them know that, yes, he is there. And yes, he does want you. And yes, he will accept you. Right where you are, the way you are, with all of your flaws and all of your failures, he's calling you. I imagine that the tone of Jesus' voice was not angry. He wasn't, you know, who is this guy that's making all the noise? Well, somebody just quiet him up. We've got business to attend to here. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I've got big people to meet with. Can somebody just shut this guy up? No, he's calling Bart to himself to speak to him, to let him know that, Bart, I've been waiting for eternity to meet with you here on this road. From eternity past, I knew that I would have this interaction with you today. I've been waiting all of this time. I want to reveal to you the love of the Father, a Father who wants to know you, wants you to know Him, a Father who calls you to His side. And Bart was led by somebody. Somebody led him to Jesus, and I hope if somebody brought you here today that you will not be offended by that. Somebody wants to bring you to Jesus. He says, Lord, I want to see. Receive your sight, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you. And instantly he could see, and he began to follow Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. As Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus was asking for mercy. Interesting that he would ask for mercy. He's there asking for money from the people who are passing by. Alms for the blind, alms for the poor, whatever he was saying, whatever his rap was. Asking for money. But when Jesus comes by, the thing that he asks for is mercy. He's not trying to justify himself. He's not making excuses. You know, some people spend their entire life making excuses and then building a platform on that excuse and then defending that position. He's not making excuses here. He throws every excuse out the window. He's heard that Jesus restores sight. He hears that Jesus is coming. He perceives something that wasn't seen with the natural eye. And he cries out to Jesus. Guys, Jesus is here today, as he is every day. And he is passing by. And there's some today who he is calling out to, who he is speaking to. And he's waiting for you to cry out to him. And when he does, he will call you to his side. The question is, what will you do? What will you do with that time when he beckons you, when he calls you? I'm going to have Enos come up and close us. But I want you to just take this time. If you are here today and you are a follower of Christ, you've been through this time when there was a call and Jesus spoke to you and you responded. And I'm going to ask you just to take this time and to pray for those around you who may not know Christ. Someone that Christ may be dealing with today. And ask the Lord to open that person's heart, that they would acknowledge Him as Lord, that they would set aside the things that they are holding on to, the things that they think are going to bring them fulfillment in life. that they would put those aside and follow Christ, submit their life, submit their hearts in humility. Lord, we just thank you for this time today, this time in your word. We thank you for the power of the written word and the power as it is spoken. Lord, there is a truth here, and there's some who need to hear it. Lord, we pray that you would open hearts, that you would clear minds. Lord, have your will. You know what we are asking, Lord. Be with us in this place today. Be with those who are lost, those who need you. Father, take this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.